Amen. And again, it's an honor to have you all worship the Lord with us tonight. You're a guest. I'll give you anonymity. Hang out. Enjoy yourself. I'll not ask you to say or do anything. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me read this again. If you've been in the church world any length of time, you've probably heard this verse. And I'm believing we're going to look at it from a different angle so we can go deeper with truth and revelation. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit means the result, what is being produced in your life. The production in your life by the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm going to say it this way. This is what you call character building in your life. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
In our world, you could say, in the evangelical world, in the Spirit-filled world, we talk a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And last week, if you were with us, we talked about praying in the Spirit. Were you here last week? Wasn't that powerful? To see so many people get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to receive. And I mean, they were receiving one after another. It's just such an amazing opportunity because there and such benefits as we went through the Bible, line upon line of, is it for today? What is it about? Where's the balance in this? How do we apply this? And walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, or operating in the gifts of the Spirit are so important. 1 Corinthians talks about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We have power gifts, we have vocal gifts, we have demonstration gifts. I mean, when you look at these are wonderful. They're for the building up of the body. They help you in life. It's just not a church setting. It's a rhythm of life. Can you imagine operating in healing just when you're in the highway and byway, in a grocery store? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Word of wisdom, you know what I mean? Discerning of spirits. Having the gift of faith. So the gifts are very powerful, and they are very important to a believer.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're going to have all of the gifts, but you're to desire the gifts of the Spirit. It helps you be stronger and to operate and to flow the way God wants you to flow. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
They're talked about a lot, and they are important, so don't misunderstand me. But there's also a balance. Because without character, your gifts can take you where your character can't keep you.
Right.
We've all seen people who operated with great gifts. That could be a vocal gift, a musician gift, a business gift, or whatever. And they excel in their gift, but if they leave off or leave out these things called character down the road, that little crack in that foundation doesn't seem like much now. But the greater the building becomes, the taller it becomes, the heavier it becomes, the tension builds.
Right.
And so tonight we're not going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to reserve that for another time. They're so important. But I believe we have to back up a little bit and talk about the foundation, the character of God in our life. Without the character, you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And we've all, maybe you haven't, but if you've been around the church world long enough, you've seen people who could operate in the gifts, and then down the road you find out their life is all jacked up behind the scenes.
Yeah.
A womanizer, an alcoholic, a drug, you're like, what is going on? Why? He's on the platform ministry, now he's out with a prostitute. What's up with that?
Yeah.
And sometimes you wonder, well, wait a minute, how could he operate in that gift and be doing that? Because you have to understand that the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
That's
right. So you can operate, once you receive a gift, you can operate in the gift and then walk away from God and still operate in the gift, but only for a short season. It's a trap of the devil. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Jimmy Swaggart, if you were around back in the late 80s and saw that ministry implode. And he was quoted as saying, you know, with all the stuff he was doing wrong, he felt that God kind of was okay with it. Because he would have a meeting and there was a lot of people. People were coming and the money was flowing And as long as the noses and nickels are flowing, he just felt God was saying, it's okay. I know what you were doing the other day was bad, but you know, it's okay. Because the crowds kept coming in. Offerings kept coming in. Because he could operate in his gift. Samson operated in his gift. Even when he disobeyed God. And he could do it for a short time. I'm not trying to say that's the right way. That's absolutely the wrong way. But if we're not careful, we'll spend all our energies focusing on the gifts that are demonstrated to those around us and not develop the character that no one sees within us.
Right.
And without a character on the inside, it's like a foundation. You can fool people for a short time, but if it's not the real deal on the inside,
hello,
your sins will find you out.
Oh, yes.
That which is done in secret, God will make open.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear me? And so it's so important for us to learn as believers how to operate and flow and minister with the Holy Spirit and flow in the anointing. These are so important in life. Doesn't mean you have to be a full-time minister. But just as a child of God, it's important to understand how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But once you start operating in that area, don't walk away from the character.
Yes.
Oh, I got the title. I got the success. Oh, I'm doing so well. I can kind of, you know, I'll just bend those boundaries a little. And you grieve the Holy Spirit. Because one thing you can't fake, and that's the presence of God in your life.
That's right.
The presence of God. People can look and say, wow, they sound so good. Or, wow, look, people got healed. Oh, it must be of God. Well, let me just tell you this, that the Bible says in the last days that the Antichrist will fool many because he will operate with lying wonders and signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Deceiving, lying, signs and wonders. That means he'll demonstrate power. And people say, this must be from God.
Mm-hmm.
I know ministries today that are operating. I won't tell you their names. None of your business. Well, can't you tell us how to protect? Let me tell you what to do. You pray and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He'll show you. If you depend on me to identify every crooked, dishonest charlatan and a wolf around the sheep, then I might not always be there. Well, I don't know. I went with this call, Pastor. You call me out. Pastor, I know it's only 4:30 a.m. Sorry for waking up so early. But is this person? No, don't be calling me at 4:30 a.m. Or I could show you and teach you how to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because there's always new people coming down the road.
Right.
And not everybody coming down the road is right.
Right.
And where you say, wait a minute, I see what they're doing and that looks right. But something's not. Now, I'm trying to keep a balance here because I don't want you to be paranoid and I don't want you to be overcritical. But I like to look at it this way. I don't care if it's on Christian TV or not. It is not our system of law where you're innocent until proven guilty. No, we're talking about your eternity, your walk with God.
Right.
It should be guilty until proven innocent. Don't you open up your spirit to everybody.
Right.
Don't you allow everybody to pray for you. I won't give his name, but there's one guy getting ready to do a big miracle crusade, and I know him, and I know his past personally. Better be careful you let pray for you.
Yeah.
You better be careful who you listen to and their teaching.
Yeah.
I got to be careful here. Help me, Jesus. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life.
Man.
Not everybody is genuine. Nobody, not everybody is sincere. And that's why you have to say, all right, Lord, I don't know, so I'm going to put a guard up. I won't let my guard down until it's proven by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit shows me. But they're good people. Well, you know, a baby puts everything in their mouth.
Come on.
And it takes maturity to learn that just because it's there and you can't doesn't mean you need to be eating it.
That's right.
Spiritual maturity is you learn just because someone's teaching it doesn't mean you need to be eating it.
Right.
Just because someone's wrote a book on it doesn't mean it's the Bible. Well, they quote scriptures. Well, the devil quoted scriptures. Did he not? Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to help us all. There's a maturity of realizing. It doesn't mean you hate everybody. It doesn't mean someone walk down the road and say, hi, I'm a pastor. And you go, oh! No, but you careful who you open yourself, your spirit to allow them to speak into your life. Just because someone says something, the Lord's speaking to me, the Spirit of the Lord tells me that to tell you, and people will change their whole life because someone told them, the Holy Ghost told them to tell you. No, if you've been around here long enough, we've taught you that if the Holy Spirit sends somebody, and God can tell someone to speak into your life, but when he does it, it's a confirmation to something he's already told you, and it's in alignment with the Word of God. Oh, the Holy Spirit tells you, you need to divorce your wife and marry me. That's not the Holy Ghost. Man, you stay in the church long enough, you can hear a lot of crazy stories.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit tells me you need to sell your house and give me all the money so I can go on the mission field. Just a minute. Jesus said that wasn't him. He wasn't there. He didn't tell me. That's not him. It's okay to say no.
Amen.
But what if I'm wrong? What if you're right? It's okay if someone comes and tries to give you a crazy idea because when it's not of God, you'll notice there's such an eerie guilt, oppression, fear. Well, if I don't do it, they said bad things are happening to me. Well, that's not of God. The Holy Spirit leads you.
Right.
When people start adding, well, if you don't do what I say, then a curse is going to come on you. Well, let me just say that. That's witchcraft.
Yes.
You can look at him just like Jesus did to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Because that's not of God. Did you hear me?
Now,
let's flip this around. For us, we don't want to spend our lives developing gifts that draws advancement and success or a bigger platform or visibility, call it what you want, and not develop the character of God because all of a sudden the things we build comes crumbling down.
Right.
And the devil doesn't mind you being successful if you don't have character.
Right.
Let me say it this way. The devil will actually promote you. If you don't have character. Didn't he try to promote Jesus in the wilderness? Bow down to me and I'll give you all this. That's a quick promotion, what you would say in the natural. But it wasn't God's way. Did you hear me? Because if the devil can get you to go down his way, he knows he'll get you so big and popular and everybody will know about you. Why? Because all of a sudden at the peak, he'll pull the carpet out. He'll bring the curtain back and everybody can see who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you crumble and fall and cry. And sometimes if you're in national ministry, you'll crumble and cry on TV.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. But he's just not after you. The devil's after those baby believers that just got saved that don't know any better. And now they're in a world of confusion. What is right? If they can't serve Jesus, who can? I'm so confused. And that's what the devil's after. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Jesus said, woe to those who offend the babies, the infants, and cause them to stumble. What am I telling you? We can have great ambition, and we should. We can have great goals and dreams, and we should. We can strive to reach the pinnacle of our field, business, sales, life, ministry, whatever, and you can and should. But if you don't build character, then you're going to find that what you've built is not going to last.
Right.
Because sin will humiliate you.
Yes.
So let's look at this, the fruit of the Spirit. Now let me just say this right off top. One of the problems I have, and let's go to Romans 12 while I'm talking about this. One of the problems I have in the church world, and again, I love the church. I love the church, God's idea. I love the church.
Amen.
I hate some of the stuff that's happened in the context of supposed to be the church,
right.
But really not the church. Some weird stuff's developed. Here's one of the things that I believe has happened. And instead of, you notice it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? And what happens in the church, we're there long enough and we think that these are not the fruit of the Spirit. We think these are things that we have to imitate. I'm going to say it this way. We start looking at these as things that we have to conform to act like. So now we're really not in love. We just act like we love it. How you doing, brother? Good to see you. God bless you. Hope you have a great day. I'm praying for you. We try to act like we have peace. Temperance. We want to try to have it, and we work hard to have it, but it's not us.
Yeah.
It's this outward mask. It's not genuine. It's not real. If you have your Bible, you turn to Romans 12, you'll see this verse. See what it says in verse 2. It tells us, are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Don't you love the Word of God? Verse 1, I read, and I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed. Say, be not conformed. It's time, be not conformed to this world. I'll put it, be not conformed to the world. Be not conformed to the church world. Be not conformed.
Amen.
Be not conformed to the ideas of other people. God doesn't want you to act like a Christian. God wants you to be a Christian. God doesn't want you to act like you have peace. God wants you to actually have peace. God doesn't want you to act like you love people. He wants you to really love people. Don't be conformed, but be what?
Transformed.
God doesn't want you to act like a Christian. He wants you to be a Christian. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you'll find that the word without the spirit, the Bible tells us, brings death. But the word with the Holy Spirit brings life. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Right? Let me get that scripture for you. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Okay. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Let me just support that. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, we don't need information, we need revelation. Oh, and you get that by information, but you get it by reading the Word, getting the information, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation. When there's a revelation, as God reveals His Word to you in your heart and your life, in the rhythm of life, there'll become a change. You're transformed.
Right.
See, now, please keep this in balance, so I don't want you to misunderstand. If you stop lying because I tell you to stop lying, then you're really a liar with good control. The nature hasn't changed. The boundaries have just become stronger. See, the question is not if you're a thief or not. The question is, if you could steal and no one, and you knew you would never be caught, would you steal? So if I tell you to stop lying and you stop lying because I tell you, then you're really just a liar with good control. But if the Holy Spirit brings a change into who you are, changes your nature, because you're just not an old sinner saved by grace, you're a new creation, the Bible says. Religion will tell you, you're an old sinner just saved by grace. The Bible says you are a new creation. Paul tells us to work out our salvation. What doesn't mean that you have to work to be saved, but the seed, the nature of God planted you at the new birth, conversion, that word, that seed that's on the inside of you, we're to work that thing out so it affects every facet, so that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because as we're getting the word in us and the Holy Spirit brings revelation to it, He can change us at our core in the inside. He works on the inside out. Philippians says that it's God who is working in you, giving you the desire and the ability.
Yes.
See, what we need is the desire and the ability to be like Him.
Yes.
He brings a transformation that all of a sudden the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the Holy Spirit in your life, as He takes that word and develops it in you, the fruit of the Spirit is love. All of a sudden you'll start loving people you don't even know.
Right.
You'll love people. You don't even know why. You love, oh, man, I'm feeling, I'm loving that person even when they're mean. I don't know why. Did you hear me? In the church, we have been so caught up with outward appearance that we strive hard to look the part without being the part. And when you do that, you are taking on a position of perception without God's grace. And you'll have people that will promote you because they just see you on the outside. Oh, look, that brother, he comes to church, that sister, they come to church, and oh, they're involved, they're doing it. And praise God for all that. That is good. But God looks to the heart. Samuel, the prophet of God, was about to choose the wrong king based on what he saw. And God said, that's not the one. You look at the outside. I look to the heart. Go find the son you don't see. Go find the son you don't see. I can't be. He would bring them all. Ask them, is there any more? Is there any more sons? Well, yeah. Bring them to me. When Samuel stood in front of him, God said, that's the one. Sometimes some of your greatest opportunities you won't realize until you stand before it. God said, that's what I want you to do. But what happens is we have an appearance of it, and people will promote you, or you will promote people based on what you see, because we see from the outside, God knows the heart. And when you're promoted to a level that you don't have a transformation, but you have you've been conformed to it and not transformed to it, there's no grace, which means you cannot resist the devil like God wants you to, and you cannot handle the weight that it comes with that position. Because to every new level, there's a new devil. And to every new level, there's a greater responsibility, a greater weight. And when you are under a weight that you were not designed to carry, your life is miserable. It's hard. But when you are operating because you've been transformed by God, by the Holy Spirit on the inside, and now it's just not you faking it till you make it, but all of a sudden you become what he has called you to become, and that promotion comes, you carry with it the mantle of God's anointing and grace, which means gives you the ability to defeat the enemy and carry the weight that other people say, how in the world can you handle all this responsibility? That would keep me up all night. And you're like, well, it doesn't seem like too heavy for me, because it's not in you. You know that you have become something beyond you. You're growing and developing into the things of God. How do you run the business? All those employees, that would just stress me out. Well, it would if you do it the natural. But if you've allowed the Holy Spirit to transform you into your destiny, who he's called you to be, it won't be that hard when you get there. See, David, when he showed up to kill Goliath, he was not the man of the hour by the natural. Accused by his brothers, put down by his brothers, overlooked by everybody. But he was the man of the hour by anointing. Because he walked in. Not by perception of what people saw, but he walked into that moment with the anointing of the king.
Yes.
Because Samuel already anointed him. And there was only three people in the Old Testament that was anointed. King, the priest, and the prophet. And the anointing of the king would come on the king to bring order. See, the prophet would receive the anointing. The Spirit of God would come upon the prophet, move upon the prophet to speak for God. The priest would operate in the anointing to minister to God for the people, offer the sacrifice. The king operated in the anointing of God to bring the order of God into the kingdom. He's the one that dealt with it if there was challenges, if there was giants, if there was armies, if there was confusion. He brought order.
Yeah.
The king said it. That was law. He brought order.
Yeah.
If he was a good king, then the nation celebrates because he was operating with the order of God. So when David showed up at that scene, all of a sudden the anointing of God came on him, not just to play, not just to minister, but a kingly anointing which brought order. Giant, you have no right. You are attacking, you are accusing, you are challenging God. You've come against the armies of the living God, and this day you will die. See, he was qualified by anointing. Like I told you before, Creflo Dollar, I was at a conference and he was speaking, and he stopped. He was praying for ministers. And a guy asked him, he said, Brother Creflo or Pastor Creflo, I want you to pray over me and anoint me and let everybody know that the mantle of an apostle is coming on me today. It's amazing how educated, smart, love God people can really do stupid things. I mean, we're all in that boat. Sometimes you look over your life and say, what was I thinking? But he handled it real well. He stopped. He said, listen, let me talk to you. Let me talk to the crowd, to the pastors that are here. And he said, my mentor, Oral Roberts, spoke this in my life many years ago. And let me just tell you, what would you rather have, the title or the anointing? You walk in the anointing. Don't worry about the title. Because the anointing empowers you. The anointing will enable you. The anointing will equip you. A title is really just for the recognition of man. The anointing is the recognition of the realm of the Spirit. See, when you walk in, when you walk into a room, people might say, oh, there's brother or pastor or evangelist or there's the boss. That's all the natural stuff. But you can be strong in the natural, weak in the realm of the Spirit, might be messed up. But when you walk in the anointing, the things you don't see, and they're like, wait a minute, there's some, we know who that is because they recognize the anointing in your life. So we need the Holy Spirit to bring a transformation into our life. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's just not a matter of gifting. We need character. Mm-hmm. The gifts of the Spirit are important, but the fruit of the Spirit is also equally important. Yes. It's not a matter of you doing nothing. You walk this out. As you walk in a relationship with God, as you're spending time in the Word, as you're fellowship with the Lord, as you're getting to know the Holy Spirit, when you're in a relationship with the Lord, He, the Holy Spirit, will produce in your life something that's genuine and real.
Amen.
You don't have to promote it. You don't have to brag about it. You don't say, hey, man, I got some peace today. Woo, Jesus. That's foolishness. That's immaturity. You just are walking. Why? Because your goal is to honor God and help people. But we have to build the character. Without the character, no matter how great, how shiny. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. You can write this down. It says, be careful those who have the form of godliness but deny the power. Church, let me just tell you, before the Lord comes back, this is probably going to happen, and you'll probably see from time to time this happening. Hopefully not as much as that could, but the reality is there. There will be people who have the appearance of godliness, of goodness, but not have the power, which means there are cloud without rain. There's no genuine. There's no essence. There's no essence. Having a form of godliness but not denying the power. There, notice, from such turn away. You got time for two more verses? I think are so important to us. Go to Matthew 13 and Luke 8. We'll hit these really fast. Matthew 13, this is a verse. I love this study that we've done in the past over this verse. Talking about the seed, the sower, the seed being the word, the sower is the heart of a person. As a seed sown, the different levels, the different things that can happen in our walk with God, for the devil's attempt to steal the word or its result, its fruit out of your life. But I want to look specifically at one part here. So Matthew 13, verse 22. I'm going to read 22 and 23 verses. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I want you to notice that again. Focus on that, because we're going to look at Luke's version. And verse 23 says, but he that receives seed into good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll end here tonight. We're doing pretty good on time. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Let me just start reading verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Matthew's gospel talked about them understanding. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Verse 14, And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Let's stop here a second. With cares, riches, and pleasures. Say cares, riches, and pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with the pleasure, and there's nothing wrong with the riches. But you have to understand what's happening in the context. Because a blessing from God couldn't turn into a curse. We've talked about this before. I've seen people that started out with nothing. They begin to come to church, serve God with all their heart. They begin to operate in the principles of God. They begin to become tithers and givers, obeying God's word. And if you obey God's word, it will produce results.
Amen.
Did you hear me? If you're walking out, if you work the word, it will produce.
Yes.
It might not be overnight, but it's over time.
Right.
It's like exercising. You go, I'm going to get in shape. You go to the gym, work out. Next day, you're like, what have I done? It's not going to be overnight.
Right.
Sometimes it seems like it gets harder after you do start. But over time, if you keep the process, if it's not working, then you got to look, am I doing it? Am I handling the word of God correctly? Because it's not that God's word doesn't work. It always works if handled correctly.
Right.
We got to be willing to say, all right, God, I'm doing this. What am I missing? Because maybe there's something we're missing, and you got to be mature enough to say, I'm not perfect. I don't know it all. I can learn. Show me, Holy Spirit. What am I missing in this? Jesus said that he'll teach you.
Right.
He'll show you things that come. He'll instruct you.
Amen.
There's time you don't even need a teacher. He'll show you. The Holy Ghost will show you. Lord, show me what I need to do. Show me what am I missing.
Right.
You have not because you ask not. And when we begin to say, all right, if this is not working, maybe I'm not working it correctly. Show me what I need to do different, because the word works.
Yes.
And I've seen people where all of a sudden they obey God, they're working the word, the word's working, they become blessed, they start getting really blessed. I mean, now it's that momentum, it's flowing now. It is really flowing. They're doing well. And now they're like, oh, we're doing so well. What can we do? Oh, let's buy a boat. Praise God for boats. Nothing wrong with boats. But all of a sudden you're like, I haven't seen you on last 3 or 4 Sundays. Oh, I got to go to the boat and make sure it's clean. I got to work on the boat. You know, that you got responsibilities. And all of a sudden, the blessing became a curse.
Yeah.
The thing that was a blessing from God now drew their attention away. What is that? See, God, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money.
Right.
Money, God wants you to be blessed. But if the blessing distracts you from him, that's when it becomes a problem. God wants you to be successful, but in your success, if it distracts you from him, there's a problem.
Right.
So what are the things? Cares, pleasures, and riches. God doesn't, it's not that God doesn't want you to go on a vacation and have a good time. But if all your life is, oh, how can I just get to where I'm just enjoying life? I don't want to do anything. I want to be constant, perpetual vacation. No stress, I just want to relax. Hey, wait a minute, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now notice this. Some of you are laughing because you're looking at somebody and saying, that's the you name. You called them out right there, Pastor. Notice. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And bring no fruit to perfection. That's what I want to focus on there. The Matthew translation says becomes unfruitful, which means they were fruitful at one time, but they become unfruitful. This text says that they bring no fruit to perfection, which means the faith was growing, results are happening, fruit's being produced, but they never stuck out long enough in the process to allow the fruit to mature, to become whole and complete. They stopped early. Because they started thinking, ooh, this thing's working. Now I don't need God. I got to handle it on my own. Ooh, it's all, things are really clicking now. That door is open. Thank you, Jesus. I'll talk to you when I have a problem. See, one strategy of the devil is to keep you down. But like I said earlier, another strategy of the devil, once you break through that, is trying to puff you up.
Right.
To get you ahead of God. Oh, you don't need, here, this has to be God. It's such a good opportunity. Most Christians struggle with, God, give me a doorway. Show me a sign. Give me an opportunity. Lord, I'm praying for a job. Any job, Jesus. But there's another level when you say, Lord, I'm looking for a job, and God sends you a job, but the devil throws three in right before it. And now you have four jobs. You're like, oh, God's blessed me with four jobs. Now I can just randomly pick. Maybe not.
Right.
Lord, I need a new car. And the next day someone says, work, hey, I'm looking to sell my car. You know anybody? It must be God. Maybe not. The devil has a way of sliding in right before the opportunity opens up.
Right.
On the doorstep of your victory, he'll slide an opportunity. Now, Lord, send me the right godly man. Next day, you're at a restaurant, some guy says, hi, I just noticed you didn't trust me. Ed Meeks is a lot better at that. Where's Ed? He can help me out. He's real smooth. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness, this must be God. Maybe not. Maybe not. Did you hear me? Because the devil, if he can't choke it out of it and keep you down from receiving, and all of a sudden you start growing in this thing, and you start becoming more like Christ, and things are clicking because the word is working, he'll try to pull your attention away. So that the things that God's already produced in your life never reach maturity. And if that's you tonight, just repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to get back on track. But I want you to notice we're not done. That last verse. Verse 15. But that on the good ground, notice this, are they which in an honest, I love this gospel perspective, which in an honest and good heart. You know what that tells me? There's character. There's character. There's character. It's just not about developing the gifts. We need to develop the gifts that God's given us. Don't misunderstand me. Keep it in balance. They're on good and honest heart. You know what? Not character? Somebody with the wrong motives and deceitful and deceiving. Trying to act the part just so they can get the stuff.
Yeah. Right.
But on the inside, they're not the real deal.
Yeah.
You know what happens? It grows, but then one day their gifts take them where their character can't keep them, and they crumble.
Yeah.
They're producing fruit. One day it doesn't reach fulfillment, maturity. With an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Not overnight, but it is over time. As you develop your relationship with the Lord, you start walking this thing, you pray in the Spirit, you're in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit starts working with you. You're just not trying to live a life because everybody else or living a life because you're trying to impress people. When you live that, then you're operating under the fear of man and not the fear of God.
Right.
I'd rather have somebody who doesn't have it all right, but is genuine and sincere in their relationship, and their conscience is clear between them and God. Their heart's right between them and God. They have a good, honest heart between them and God. They still might have some issues, but they got a good heart between them and God. And they're open for the Holy Spirit to work on them and produce the fruit that brings the transformation change. Because now it's not trying to look good for your perspective. It's working to live good from his perspective. Heart conversions. We're so afraid of what people might say or think. Who cares? Let's focus on God. Be genuine. Be real. Well, you know what? You could be a little better. You know, you should be more like me. Because, you know, hey, I fast 8 days a week. Come on. And you ought to do what I do. If I try to match you, then now I'm conforming to you. Because I'm reverence and fearing you more than I am God. This is not a political race. You're not looking for votes. This is a race you're running that God's put you on that you can win and come to the end where he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's the character of God that brings stability, that with a genuine, honest heart, you can produce and bring with patience, bring that fruit to maturity, the things that God wants to develop in you, the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.